follow the messages on screen, the wooden audio that for evaluation becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
As Son. Always. As always.
What's going on?
Well,
Cameron?
We've got a lot of reviews today.
We do.
So we're going to go right to it.
Yeah, let's just start reviewing shit right away. Good idea.
No, we got a good podcast today.
Yeah.
Kind of a unique subject, I think, that no one on Earth has ever talked about.
Yeah, there really isn't. Actually,
no one really cares about
it. I search for it quite a bit. Today we're talking about prepping with kids. And then we also decided to throw in pets.
Because they're pretty close to the
same. They're really similar, so we figured we'd mash them together in one
glory. So if you have kids, just don't expect to last very long in the apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're going to try and help you out.
Yeah, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. And we just got one.
At TacPack.com.
Atakapaka.com.
Atakapaka.
Anyways, yeah.
We're going to tell you why they're so good.
We are.
They are good. So just go ahead and subscribe to a box, and then we will tell you what's in there. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Listener, reviews starts now.
You want to take this, bruh? Or you want me to take it?
You know what? I'll go ahead and tag it.
Okay.
I don't know. This one was pretty funny, and I'll butcher it, so you just do it.
Okay. This one is from Jessica Ranavaya on Facebook. You know, and I'm just going to put the social media shout-out all in one on this as well. I'm just going to shout her out because this is a great review.
Do it.
5 stars. I actually found the book before the podcast and decided to give it a listen. Now I'm hooked like a hand on a rioter. If you're a prepper who hasn't graduated to the aluminum foil hats level yet, this podcast is for you. I've learned how to store enough water for shower sex, prep for earthquake canes, plus ride a horse, then eat it. One of these two is a fellow Jeeper, so that in itself is legit. If you don't listen to this podcast, you will not stay survived. Literally. So yeah, listen to it.
Jessica freaking knows.
Yeah.
Why we do this.
Exactly, yeah, she really does.
She understands it.
Uh-huh.
Understand.
So thank you. If you guys want to be a part of this portion of the podcast, please go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Amazon book, and leave us a 5-star review and make it freaking awesome.
It's a mad, mad world.
I'm going to go with mine first because... come to find out, it was kind of like bogus news.
Oh, what?
But I thought it was pretty funny. I was all sucked into on it. So Alaska,
yeah.
Apparently the the state preparedness guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. I won't use it just because
Jeffrey.
Apparently
this is Jeffrey.
This is old Eskimo
Joe up there in Alaska.
So apparently they started telling people to prepare for a nuke strike from North Korea.
Did they really though, or is this bogus?
It was kind of bogus. Like I guess that they started talking about it.
Okay.
They've kind of gone over. This is for real. They've gone over like in Hawaii and in Guam and stuff. They've gone over like sirens to know like what to expect. When you hear this is, a nuke strike.
This is bad.
You're going to die.
You're going to die. Grab your ass.
But basically what they were saying in Alaska is that they told people, they're not going to do this mass evacuation because North Korea could strike Hawaii in under 20 minutes, like from launch to strike, and Alaska would be around the same amount of time. It's actually closer.
Yeah.
So there's no use.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
You can't, if you're out in the open, you're going to die.
Yeah.
So your best chances are to listen to our podcast on nuke survival.
Just like get in your basement and turn on the podcast. And
just put your headphones on and let it blow over.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Just watch out for dust and particles.
Yeah.
Hold your breath.
Do one of those.
Yep. So
okay.
basically don't be out and about. We told you about this. The flash, the sonic boom.
Yep.
The stuff is going to rip you apart.
Yeah, so go listen to the...
Go crawl in a, the barrel pit.
Yeah. The what?
Have you heard it called the barrel pit?
No.
In between the highway.
Oh, no.
That's old fashioned. Uh-huh. Anyway. So, anyways, these places really are preparing for new, the possibility. It's just so crazy to me this day and age to be talking about, it's back to the 1940s, tuck and die.
Yeah,
put your
exactly.
head between your...
Get under your desk and pray to the Lord because you're done.
So.
That's good.
Crazy.
That's good. So, mine, it's just kind of crazy the stuff that's happening in Venezuela. The socialist government, the government's collapsing. We all know that. But this thing here that I just read today, I was laughing and then I was crying a little. It was a bad deal. Anyways, so this says Venezuela authorities are investigating the theft of animals from a zoo in western state of Zulia that were likely snatched to be eaten.
The place was called Zulia?
Zulia, Zulia. Hmm. A further sign of hunger in a country struggling with chronic food shortages. A police official said two collared peccaries, which are similar in appearance to boars, were stolen over the weekend from the Zulia Metropolitan Zoological Park.
To be eaten.
To be eaten, they think. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's how bad it's getting down there.
Freak.
And that's just, that's happening now. It's a collapse of a government that's happening.
Here's the tigers. This used to be the elephants, but they were eaten.
Yeah.
The boars are gone.
Can you imagine the people say, well, shall we take the tigers? Or shall we just try and get these boar-looking things? You know what I mean?
Like, what are you these peccaries are good.
The peccaries sound good for we got some bread back at home.
Peccary sandwich. Some of the birds, they're not very good.
The birds don't taste so good, man.
Man, that's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
I'm picking on a zoo. Well, they're not. We're gonna be cornered pretty easy.
Like, I can't believe they got a zoo open anyways at this point.
No kidding.
You know, just release all the animals.
Everybody's just sitting there salivating. Yeah. Oh man.
I'll bet that monkey tastes good.
I used my last $3 to come in and see the tiger, and he's sleeping.
I got like 4 pesos left to my name, and this damn tiger sleeps on me.
I guess I'll ride the train.
Ride the train. Anyways.
That's we're explaining our zoo in Salt Lake. Yeah, that's freaking horrible.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what we got.
Well, let's
on.
Talk about kids and pets.
Yeah, so prepping with kids and prepping with animals.
Yeah.
Two very similar yet different things, and we're going to talk about them all.
So these things are going to raise all kinds of difficulties in your prepping.
That's the thing, man. That scares me more than anything is my freaking kids.
Mine
because
too.
They're not easy to handle sometimes, and especially in a situation where stuff's going nutty.
Ugh.
Ah, man, I'm not looking forward to
it. I know. Like, when off work for 3 days, I'm like, I'm going to kill y'all.
I know.
So if you're in a bunker, you're going to lose
your
mind.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
So first things first, stock up on a bunch of antidepressants and all kinds of anxiety medicines.
Yeah.
So, both Kobe and I have kids, so we know just how difficult this is probably going to be.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have kids, I mean, these things can...
These kids can...
No. I'm saying these things that we're going to talk about today could still apply because you might have nephews, you might have nieces.
Yeah, and there's a good chance you're going to be in a group...
Exactly.
...that's going to have children's.
Yep.
So, let's talk about it. So, the difficulties to consider with children.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, right off the bat, they want food, snacks, water, juicy juices, crap all the time.
It's insane how much they need snacks.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to be wanting MREs before bedtime.
Do I want more potato flakes? No, that's not going to happen.
No, it might, but they just want... It's going to be a super shock to them when you're like...
Yeah.
Oh, did you have a power flicker?
No, I did this.
Oh, okay. It's like, oh, man, power's going to go out. So first thing is they're just going to be in shock of not being able to have the conveniences of feeding themselves.
It's like
every 2 seconds.
They're going to go into like fruit snack shock.
They are.
You know what I mean? No fruit snacks.
Can't we just go get them?
Why? Let's just go to the store, Dad.
Just licking the packages and stuff. So it's going to be shock for them right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of broke it down a little bit into, ages.
Hmm.
So I'm going to let it out. My wife and I are going to have a baby.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
Yeah, so this opens up a whole new world of difficulty.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I'm scared for you.
I am. I'm terrified again. So I have two little boys.
Mm.
I have a toddler, one that's, you know, a little older toddler. I don't know. What do you classify like a 7-year-old? Not a toddler.
Seven.
Like a little butthole.
A little bit bigger
this
butthole.
This is butthole age. yeah, this is, they're all butthole ages. So yeah. With babies, you got to deal with like the uniqueness in food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they need soft foods. They need, you know, formula, milk.
Breast milk.
Named breast milk. It's just going to be hard to get all those things in a, you know, SHTF scenario. So we're going to talk about, you know, how to kind of counter these difficult scenarios. So the other thing is, you know, immunizations are going to stop.
Yeah.
And there's going to be long-term, you know, these preventable diseases are going to start to show up again.
Yeah, depending on how long your situation lasts, yeah.
Hopefully.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
The real bad ones, mm-hmm. It's going to prove to be a problem down the road. Other things is, you know, kids are weird little creatures. Like, I see them at work, these bizarre rashes that don't match any textbook, you know. And you're not going to really have, you know, pediatricians and experts with kid problems. So, I recommend you get a book.
Yeah. Seriously, a rash book?
a rash book is super nice because there are so many weird, bizarre rashes.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked about having, like, you know, a medical book.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to be able to find a provider. And there's a lot of diagnostic.
Specifically, like, a pediatric one, too, would probably be good.
Like, the pediatric ones, I mean, it's like 90% rashes.
Yeah.
And, like, second's like diarrhea. And
yeah.
Yeah, so it would be good to have those things, and you know we'll talk about having the right medicines because you know they can't swallow a huge horse pill antibiotic.
No,
and then onto the toddlers. So you're looking at, you know, these are busy little devils.
Yeah, they are, man.
They always want to be entertained.
Yeah,
and you're not going to be able to get them out and do as many things with them. So you've got to think ahead of, you know, ways to entertain them and keep them off from what's going on and why they can't go out and play because, you know, it's
why
a
you're
nuclear
not
wasteland
now.
Yeah. You can't go out there.
Yeah, and why you're not playing with them every second or, you know what
right.
I mean? Daddy, why are you still shooting the bad guys? Yeah. Let's go do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's
going to be rough. The other thing is, you know, toddlers have that sense of fear.
Mm.
They can sense that something, you know, they don't feel like, you know, why is Dad all stressed out and yelling at me? What's going on outside?
Actually, I think my kids would probably think it was weird if I wasn't stressed out and yelling at them.
That's true.
At this point.
Oh, he's trying to help us. What's going on?
Why is he being so nice?
He's playing board games. Something's going on.
We're all going to die soon. I know it.
Yep. So, like education. So, they're growing. You need to help them be learned.
Learned.
Because,
you
know, they need to still... Oh, I about ripped the board out or something. They need to still, you know... get an education and be useful to society with whatever's left of it and not be a burden.
Yes.
So still need to think about that. And then they're noisy. So they're going to attract all kinds of wild animals.
It's so hard to keep them quiet. Like when you want them quiet, they don't want to be quiet.
No, it's so true. So like if you got looters and things like that, you'd be smothering your kids.
You need like a muzzle. Like we need like a toddler muzzle.
Right.
You know?
So they're definitely not the most stealth of animals.
No.
And then on to like teens, you know, they're curious. They're wanting to be independent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're wanting to be Wolverines.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're like, let's go freaking take them all down.
Yeah.
They have no sense of, you know,
their brain
is
not developed all the way yet.
It isn't.
They have like the part that makes those decisions. It's all jacked up. It's not ready to go out into the real world yet.
No.
And so you have to kind of be watching that.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're fearless. They think that they're invincible.
Yeah.
And so you've got to spend time with them, teaching them, you know, they can be helpful. They can be an asset to a group, but you're like, you're horny, you know. You're not going outside.
Stop touching your pecker and go do something useful.
It's like a cat in heat. No, you can't go outside.
Stop it.
So they're going to be,
and
they're just going to be talking back, and you know they're going to be rough to deal with.
Yeah, keep it
you
wrinkly.
Can't say
out
the
there.
Babies might be easier there.
Keep it wrinkly.
And then another thing with all these is, you know, if you're in a small group, who's going to want to watch your kids when you're going out to try and help? You know, I'm going to be wanting to scavenge every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Somebody, can you watch it? Hey, Dale.
Hey, you got to just check out them kids. We're going to go do something useful.
I let you in this group, so you're going to watch them.
You ain't got no useful skills other than that anyway.
So we'll talk a little bit more about trying to help the kids be more, you know, independent, yeah. Carry AKs and things like that.
Yeah.
So, why don't we talk about how to start getting your kids ready for prepping?
Okay.
And prep your kids for prepping.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
I didn't have any more after that.
You don't? Well, you actually do because you got this first, you kind of wrote something in there, help them feel safe.
No, I just said, like I was kind of mentioning in the thing before was, uh-huh. They need to be reassured that things are okay, even if they're not.
They're so dumb, they're going to believe you anyways. Yeah. Just tell them it's good.
And that's, I didn't even mention that. That's a number one thing. Kids are really dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
they're a big problem.
That's a burden, but it's also an asset. Because you can tell them anything, and they're like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on out there? Well, the tooth fairy's killing Santa Claus. Oh, that's effed up.
You got fruit snack?
Yeah, you got fruit snack. That's too bad. You got fruit snack?
Yeah. That was just of all these things, try and help them feel safe and try and keep them distracted from what's going on.
Yeah.
They're going to eventually learn about the world.
Yeah.
Whatever scenario.
So, you know, getting kids started and getting them started young, I think a really good place to start, you know, for an everyday emergencies and for these crazy SHTF situations is having a family emergency plan. And we've done this, and I think it's actually been really good to sort of ease into some of this kind of stuff, you know, for the basic emergencies for little kids. Because my kids are pretty young. My oldest is 9, and my youngest is like 6, I think. I don't remember how.
What's her name?
That's the little one with the brown hair. You know,
They look alike.
Yeah, they all look
a little
the same.
Younger.
Yeah. So, you know, redcross.org actually has some really good emergency plans, and you just print out these two pieces of paper and you start filling them out. So basically, you know, the first thing
will you give blood? Yes.
And no, it's not like that.
You
basically, with your family, you discuss how to prepare and respond to the types of emergencies that are most likely to happen where you live, learn, work, and play. So you talk about, it actually has a section there that says, what are the most likely disasters in our area or things that might happen? So you write down a couple of those. So that way you guys can start talking about it.
That's pretty cool.
You can say
they have such a good.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, maybe I'll just open this up and I can read right from it.
So like here we've got earthquakes.
Yeah.
Power outage.
Mm-hmm.
Flooding.
Yeah, exactly. So you write down the names of everybody in your family. You write down the cell phones, their emails.
Yeah, that's.
And you even put your pets on there, you know, what pets you have and stuff. And so, like, the first thing is this plan of action. Number one, the disasters most likely to affect our household are. And that's, you know, as far as fires, it could be a flood, it can be earthquakes, tornadoes, whatever it might be in your area. Then you guys have a chance to sit there and you could talk about them for a second. So at least your kids are aware that something could happen.
Yeah.
You know, and you can give them a couple of tips or something that they might get stuck in their brain, hopefully. You know, if something does happen. You could talk about, and it says, what are the escape routes from our home? That's always good to know for your kids, obviously, especially for fires and things like that. The next one is, you know, if separated during an emergency, what is our meeting place near our home? So if you have to leave the house, like for a fire or something, where's everybody going to go?
Location.
Yeah, that because that's the thing. It could be in the middle of the night. Everybody's freaking out. It's chaos. Or maybe there's people running around the neighborhood. You don't know where your kids are.
Right.
At least they go, okay, I know where I have to go. And that's the thing with this is you have to keep up on this and you have to keep going over it because obviously with little kids, it doesn't sink in second time, you know. So you have to just kind of keep.
It's crazy how chaotic, like even a fire.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like
yeah.
We had a fire at when I was younger on our dairy farm, like the hay barn caught on fire.
Yeah.
It wasn't even our house.
Yeah.
And we all went out and just like tons of people from out of town. I mean, it was like, I was in Salt Lake. I drove 45 miles up here because I saw some smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like you have all these people and, you know, and I was mixed in with them. And some lady was telling me to let the cows out. And my dad was over here. It's just like, it's just chaos. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so that's why I think even having just a structure of some sort of a plan is going to help you in all those situations, you know. And then it also says if we can't return to our home or if we're asked to evacuate, what is our meeting place outside of our neighborhood? What is the route we're going to take and what's the alternate route we're going to take? So if they have to walk or we have to walk, we all know which way we're going, right? We know those things. And then we also have, you know, an emergency contact numbers on there and your kids' names. You know, it goes through a whole bunch of different things. And then we actually give everybody responsibilities in the event these things happen. It's like, so there's a disaster kit, you know, which I would call a bug out bag or something like that. Who's going to get those things? You know, so everybody has what they're going to do. Who's going to get the radio in check on this? Who's going to get the pets? Who's going to get the medical information? All those types of things. And you just divvy all that stuff out. And then at the end, when you've got this thing all filled out, you laminate it and put it in each of the kids' bags.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, they're book bags. And they have it with them all the time.
It's crazy how well they remember things.
It really
is. Like those panicky episodes.
Cause
like at the park, you know, we took our kids and we wrote our phone number on their forearm so that if they got lost or anything. And I remember seeing my 5-year-old, he got kind of mixed up, like we got separated and I saw him up in front.
Yeah.
Like I could see him. And he didn't know where you were. The first thing he did is looked at his forearm.
Yeah.
I was like, man, so that that's impressive at 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he
exactly.
He immediately knew, like, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. Boom.
It just kind of goes to show, like, how just a little bit can go a long way with the kids. You don't need to get nuts with them.
No.
But if you can just give them a little bit.
Start firing at them and learn, teach them how to duck and cover.
Dance, boy, dance. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, just the basics and a few things, man, it goes a long, long way over
it does.
Most kids that are just going to be running around like idiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I've like prepared a storage, you know, I had them kind of participate in, you know, gathering like pants and socks and things into a bag and they like love it.
Oh yeah, it's
like,
fun for them.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they start throwing in crap they don't need, you know.
Oh man, my kids are always
this car in there.
Yeah.
And I want this notebook in there. But they're excited about it and it's definitely an easy thing to get them into.
Yeah, it really is because they have fun doing that. So my kids are always asking to do stuff like that. You know, when they get doing it, they love it.
Yeah.
You know? So, dude, I mean, it's better than sitting there watching TV all night,
yeah.
You know, once a month at least, you know,
yep.
Something like that.
Yeah, we need to do it again.
Yeah. Another good thing is to understand your school, your kid's school or their daycare, what their emergency plans are. Because, you know, they all have procedures and plans and what's going to happen. If you understand that, you're going to know better when something happens, what to do and where to go and who to talk to.
Even with all those chaotic, you know, just sickening to even think, you know, there could be a shooting.
Yeah.
You want your kid to understand. What's going to, you know, where they probably should go if they get separated.
Yep, exactly. Ugh. And so moving on to food and water, this is where we usually always start, obviously, with all of our preps and everything we talk about. And with kids, it's just as important for them to understand these things. So water, you know, and we teach your kids how important water is because they probably don't really realize.
No, I do it every day because they'll wash their hands and walk off.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that doesn't shut off on its own.
You idiot. Oh, yeah. Oh,
you're so stupid.
Water and lights. Lights just drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Leaving the lights on. Oh.
Yeah, if you're running on battery power, too.
It's exactly. Like, so teach them, you know, what we need water for, how much we each need. Yeah, I mean, teach them how to purify water and boil it. I mean, that's something that's simple that even if they're not really going to use it too much.
Straws are easy.
Yeah, but show them how to use it.
This is how you use it.
Pull it out one night, you know, stick it in some water and show them how it's done in case they ever have to use it, you know.
Yeah.
Little kid water skills, you know?
Have that kid sucking on a sprinkler by age 4.
You go down to go over a sprinkler your neighbor.
Show him how to pop off that rainbird. Oh, jeez, that was loud. That was the loudest pop ever.
It sure was good, wasn't it? So, anyways, and then as far as food goes, you know, you yourself, you need to prep the food that your kids will eat when it comes down to it. I'm sorry, am I touching your leg with my foot?
No,
I think I was.
I wish you were.
I don't know. You know, you make sure that you have like those extra fruit snacks around. You make sure you have some freeze-dried foods that are something they will eat.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that stuff, they're not even going to touch, man. You know how finicky they are sometimes eating
food? They're horrible.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mine will starve to death.
Yeah, really.
Even if I have plenty of food for them.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
They'll
just starve themselves.
I want chicken nuggets. You know what I mean? I want a waffle.
I know. It's like all the things that aren't going to store very
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah.
They want.
And so it's honestly probably not a bad idea. Once in a while, make a freeze-dried meal and eat it with them. You know,
put syrup all over.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You just have them eat it so at least when the time comes, they know what's
coming. We popped open a pudding one.
Did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was really good, actually.
Was it? See, there you go. They can eat pudding.
Wise Company.
Good
job.
That.
It's good putting.
I mean, we even got that Mountain House like ice cream sandwiches and stuff.
I know.
Like
I think
that.
It's cool that they make those because like those help kids a lot.
Absolutely,
those help adults a lot.
Exactly. You know, and teach your kids how to make those freeze dried foods. That's not a big deal.
That's true.
That's so easy. If you teach them how to boil water, they can make that stuff. You know, so go over that stuff with them. It's not that big of a deal.
It's really not.
And so that's about all I have for food and water. I mean, there's really not much else you can do other than teach them those things.
No,
you know?
To be smart with them and conservative.
Yep.
So on education, you know.
Yeah.
I always say,
you know,
like I always say, you know, the books, like having a quality supply of, you know, educational things for the right ages,
like
and considering that they're going to get a little older.
Beginner's Guide to the Apocalypse.
Right. Uh-huh. Just get bushcraft books and stuff that are, you know, if you get it. There's like coloring books, there's activity books. Those both help them learn, help them to be distracted so you can get things done.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, devices come in handy, like iPads and tablets and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're against that, but having things stored on them and just store it away,
exactly,
put it, you know, that's going to save you.
It really is.
Because my kids have learned a lot. I mean, I don't talk to them ever. I just let them play iPad all day.
Exactly.
No, I really don't. but like the things that they learn from them are actually pretty dang good.
Yeah.
And my one kid, he would never get off from it.
If he didn't,
we have to
stop
like
him.
Give him a timer for 20 minutes or he will just stay on it all day. So he'd be easy to distract.
No
and
kidding,
it's a good distracting device. But there's a ton of this stuff that you can get just to have available because they're wanting to learn and it's a good way to, you know, keep their mind off things, pass the time for them and help you to get things done.
Exactly.
As for like health, you know,
oh man,
you know, I say that so much, don't I? But you're going to have to deal with it, peeps, because I can't change it.
Yeah. He is
I will
what he
never
is.
Change it.
Yeah.
You need to set up like an exercise plan. It's hard to, you know, be cooped up and get these things done. I mean, I'm free right now and I don't do them.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Getting a routine of these keeps you healthy, keeps you somewhat immune to sickness. And that's a big thing.
Especially for kids, you know?
Right. So plan some different, you know, have a stationary bike or have little cars for them, to play walk around in little bikes. You just got to have those things that they can be active. They can't be sitting around.
Or games, you know, tag. And I mean, if you have other kids, you know,
right.
That kind of stuff.
Simple stuff like that.
Yeah.
As for on the health, I think there's a medicine category, which I get those two mixed up. I'm just going to go into that. Or do you? No,
just wait.
Because it's hard to like not mix those two and hygiene. And so I'll get on those things in a minute.
All right. Sounds good. You know, the next thing is entertainment. We've talked about this already a little bit with kids. And it's super important for adults, but it's even more important for kids because they have to be distracted like all the time or they're going to be a pain in your butt. You're not going to be able to get anything done. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. They're going to want more food. But if you have some entertainment, you know, and some things to keep them busy, it's going to be you're going to be much better off.
Right.
So, obviously, things that don't require power are going to be much better in the long run, depending on what your situation is. But if it doesn't require power, that's probably better, right?
Right.
Having a pet, like we're going to talk about later, having a pet is really good for kids, I think.
It is.
As entertainment, as comfort. There's a lot of different things pets are great for, and we'll talk about that later as well. You know, get them, make sure that when something happens, give them something to do. Maybe that might help out, you know, have them go grab water or, you know, have them do some things that keeps them busy and makes them feel a part of it. And it'd keep them distracted from really what's going on, you know. Board games, obviously always good. My kids they're obsessed with board games. You know, make everything a contest.
Yeah,
kids love
like
contests.
That.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're gathering firewood, I'm going to gather more wood than
run
you.
Run up there.
Hey, you little pecker. I'm going to gather more wood than you. Let's go now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just stuff like that. It's
true.
It's always going to help them.
With the exercise too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Candy. Have some candy around.
Definitely.
Like I wrote, kids are dumb and sugar is their life. Seriously, they need sugar like all the time. And obviously it's not good for them. But if you can have it for situations to
It's a morale booster.
Yeah, it really is a huge morale
booster.
Kids
are just like, oh, well, yeah. I got a sucker. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care what's going on.
We do it at the clinic all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just got destroyed, and I gave you sutures. Here's a sucker. And they're like, oh, I just forgot everything.
Life is good, yes. Exactly. Lots of books, and we just talked about that, but books are great for kids. Puzzles, those things.
You can get that crap at the dollar store. I mean,
you can get it.
You can get those activity books
for nothing.
A freaking dollar.
Yeah.
And you can buy tons of them.
And keep them away. You know,
yeah,
lock them away
them.
Because they'll go through them like that. But if you have them for
it's
those,
so true.
It's like we buy our kids like books and like just like sheets of, you know, the books of just blank paper.
Oh,
every
I know.
Single page in 15 minutes is already drawn on.
Yep, same here.
All of them have one half circle on.
We
them,
bought
you know what I mean?
A box of the 5,000 sheets.
Yeah,
we're just like, here's some drawing paper, and I'm like, they've already gone through
it. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, how fast they go through it. And again, have paper and pencils and crayons.
Right,
and that
and they
stuff.
Have those drawing boards. That, you know, the dry erase.
Yep,
and they have the.
What's the doodle?
Yeah,
whatever.
The little tabs that you can, and then you touch and they go away.
Yep.
You got all kinds of stuff like that that it's helpful to have.
Yep, sure. Musical instruments, guitars, pianos, all those types of things. You know, if they play more, it's even better. But if they don't, at least you can play or somebody and distract
go
them a little
crazy.
Bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next thing is clothing. You know, you're looking down at my feet again, aren't you? What
no,
are you doing?
I, there's like something rolling under my foot.
Oh,
okay.
Clothing. This is something you kind of have to think about a little bit differently with kids because they grow so fast. So if there's any type of a longer term SHTF situation, you got to make sure that you have some bigger clothes ready
for
them.
Hey, you got girls? Just get Janko.
Yeah, just get Jankos.
And then, yeah,
exactly.
Like FUBU shirts and stuff.
Did you see that, guys? Those memes that people were putting on our Facebook page the other day? Oh, my gosh, I was laughing.
Janko's back.
Yeah. I'm ready for the riot. anyways, yeah. So have some larger sizes because your kids are going to grow, and then you'll have something for them to wear, you know? And
it's true.
And the same thing goes with adults as it does with kids. Extra warm clothes for winter months. If they have bug out bags, which hopefully they do, you know, make sure that you're switching out those clothes all the time. Teach them how to wash clothes by hand. You know what I mean? So when it comes down to it, at least they can wash their own clothes, you know, by hand and with the.
They love getting wet.
Yeah, they do.
And playing in the water.
Exactly.
So might as well make them do something while they're doing
nothing. Might not even be a bad idea, depending on their age, is teach them to do some simple sewing and stuff like that and repair the clothes. And
yeah.
That's all stuff you can teach them now that'll be good skills for them when it happens.
It really would.
Mm-hmm.
On the. So back to the medical.
Yeah. This is.
The thing on the
serious.
Health I didn't mention is like self defense. Just. Basically teaching your kids to run.
Yeah, well, yeah. Run and bite and scream.
Right. So with the medical, like we talked about, there's no vaccines, so health is going to deteriorate depending on how long everything's going on.
Yeah.
And you got to teach them, no matter what, those safe, sterile practices, you know, washing their hands often. If they've got a cold, they need to stay away from people and not cough all over the place, cough in their corner. The real basic stuff for prevention, I mean, it's stressed so much during flu season. Mm-hmm. It's just something that has to be taught and they have to stick to it.
Yeah.
Because it really isn't, you may not have access to medicines. You may not have access to a medical provider. And it could become, something simple could become much worse fast and you don't have the way to counter it. The other thing is, having medications for the appropriate age and having like a booklet that calculates dosages.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because there's a lot of those medicines that are out there for adults that can be used. We don't know how to use them if you don't have. And I mean, I day in, day out prescribe and I use an app to calculate. You have to calculate. I calculate all day.
Calculate it on my calculating machine.
But yeah. There's tons of those the little pediatric books on calculation and weight, and that's simple.
I gotta get something like
simple,
that. It's a good
simple.
Idea.
Teach
so
them,
simple.
So simple. Teach them how to bandage themselves and when they actually need to bandage themselves.
Yeah,
you
know
like
man,
Band-Aids
gosh.
When they...
They save the world,
got
man.
A toothache.
How to
use those things properly.
Gosh.
Have kid-sized dose meds. I talked about that already. Mm-hmm. And then like... equipment for, you know, prevention of spread of disease, you know, having the little the masks that fit kids. They have those kid-sized ones, and they have kids' gloves, and they have...
I've been wanting to get some of those smaller...
I've been wanting to, too. Like N95. Every time I see it at work, I'm like, I should get one of
those. Oh, you have them at work, huh?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Why don't you just get
some? I should bring home, like, one or two, you know?
Or, like...
Once a day?
Six?
For the rest of my career, I'll have, like, 4,000.
We've been going through these. You got to order some more. No.
If anybody I work with, trust me, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't do this. I don't do this.
So, the other thing is hygiene. That's going to be a problem. Teenagers become stinky pretty quick, and
Man,
they don't even recognize it.
Yeah, you're they're idiots.
You're stinky.
Yeah,
you smell.
You
have all this stuff for you. You need to teach them proper hygiene, bathing once every other day or every two or three days instead of once a week.
Yeah.
It helps prevent disease, too, and it helps you to not lose your mind to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
Soaps. Think about having different soaps that are for sensitive skins and things like that.
Yeah.
They even have the nice combinations where you got, like, a face soap and a hair and a bubble bath.
Exactly.
You got it all.
Just buy a ton of that stuff and have it stored up.
And then, you know, teach them to dig a hole and turd far from the house. They don't need to be crapping.
Yeah, do the cat or hole way out there.
Just teach them, you know, the proper hygiene stuff really is huge for maintaining health in a group. So,
yeah.
They, too, need to be taught it. Even
especially adults this day and age still don't understand it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
But especially with children because they touch everything and they wipe everything and they're just disgusting.
The
more I think about it, I don't even want to touch them. I love my kids, but I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh,
I know.
You're disgusting.
I know.
Like, I don't even want, like, I don't want to give them kisses because sometimes I know
it's crazy how little, I mean, and how much you have to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Like, they're sitting, like, the little ones sitting in the grocery cart, they're like biting on the hamburger.
Like, you just got chlamydia. You know what
in
I mean?
In the medical clinic, they're playing with toys, and then they're sucking on their fingers because they just ate a sucker. You're like, dude.
So it's like you have to be like super vigilant with them with hand washing and which might become an issue in an SHTF situation because you're not going to have as much water.
Yeah.
You're going to have as much, you know, you don't have just your...
Yeah, you're limited.
Yeah, you're limited on everything. So
hygiene seems simple, but... Or it seems like it's not that important, but it's huge for helping everybody out.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the next thing is I roll bug out bags in EDC.
I think
this
thing's kind of big, though.
Like, yeah, you know, it really is.
Do I have a good bug out bag for my kids that they've built? Not really.
No, I have an extra one that I've started building.
Yeah, I kind of have done it myself.
But I've talked with them about it, and they are so on board. They want to do it
so
bad.
So do my boys.
Because I'll like sometimes I'll have my bag out and I'll be going through
stuff.
They like
want their own backpack.
Like,
and stuff.
Oh, that's so cool!
Can I get one of those Velcro things?
Yeah,
I'm like, no,
yeah, exactly.
You don't need it.
So you can get them excited about this, and I think it's a fantastic thing because they want to learn about it, they want to do it,
right?
And it's really good to have it because if something goes down, you're gonna have to have stuff for them too.
Yeah,
and you know that ain't all in your bag.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just not, you know. So help them make their own bags if you can, you know. Just basically little mini versions of yours, but you just have to kind of cater it towards kids. You know, if they're like 5 years old, probably don't put a knife in there. You know what I mean? But there's stuff that they could still have. They could still have a water filter. They could still have
and they'll
you know,
pack
food.
Like some of the stuff that they pack in there is useful.
They'll put crayons in there.
One of our kids, when we say we're going to grandpa's and we always have them pack their own bags.
Yeah.
And like, they just go crazy. Like they love it. They're like, oh, I want this. I want this. And a lot of it's useful. A lot of it's not too.
Like, I got a whole thing of spaghetti, dad. You know, just like uncooked spaghetti and like just weird stuff.
They do stick crap.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a whole thing
but
of lotion.
But they do. They love that. So if you kind of build like a camping kit, a bug out bag for them, they'll totally love doing it.
I think it's a fantastic idea. I really do. The other thing is EDC, and I say this kind of towards, you know, when they go to school and stuff with their backpack, there's a lot of stuff that you could do really simply as part of their EDC that could help them. And, you know, like we've already talked about before, the emergency plan, make sure that they have that emergency plan with them. And we've talked about it, you know, something happens and you don't remember, just look at it. You can read through it. You know, obviously if they can read, they got to be old enough to read, but you can read through it and you're going to know what to do. You don't have to be scared because you can read this, you know where to go, you know what to do. You have phone numbers. And
I didn't even mention that too. Like kids' books, my kids love books. So
oh yeah, absolutely.
Stocking up on those little cheap ones, like they just pictures and reading. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, you could even put some, you know, like a flint and steel in there, something for fire starting. Then obviously you need to teach them how to use it, but they'll have it with them. You know, don't send a Bic lighter with them to school. It's probably not a good idea. Some cash, you know.
It's not.
$5 to $10 in cash in their bag, always extra, true, just in case. What if they have to take a bus home or, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. They'll have the cash to do what they need to
They're
do.
They're getting mugged. Exactly. Then there's something useful in there.
$5.
Here's $5. Push a kid in the dirt and run home.
A phone, if they can have a phone, even if it's not one that actually works for, you know, everyday stuff, but you can call 911 with it or whatever you can do. A flashlight, a survival guide, a really basic survival guide on there. You know, kind of show them the book, what you can do with this, the things that are in it in case anything ever happens. You can go to this chapter and you can read and you can figure it out.
Right.
And some candy in some food bars or something like that, you know, really simple stuff for EDC that I think it's always a good idea.
It is.
Yep.
I've thought about too, having, they have like those little GPS tiles.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You could throw one in one of their bags so that if they do get lost and you hopefully they have their backpack.
You can track them.
Yeah. You can get those little,
or you can lose their bags. You can get their bag back.
Right. Teaching them survival, teaching them to respect and know how to use fire properly.
Yeah.
And in what, you know, that it's like a lot of kids, you know, like my kids, when they see a lighter, they're like, oh, they stand about
start freaking out
5 feet back from it. They're like, no,
my kids do the same thing. Yeah.
But, you know, and that's good because it can be dangerous, but teaching them how to use them.
He said lighter, Mom. Yeah, you know, like really,
it's exactly like how it is. Yeah. Did you say match? You can't play with
you
matches.
Can't say matches in here. We're in the house.
So, it's obviously good reason to keep them away from using.
They need
those
to have a healthy fear of it, but they also need to understand that it can be useful. Exactly. And there are times where it's,
so it needs to be taught how and why and everything about fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Teaching them basic things of tying simple knots, even if it's a
overhand knot.
Yeah, just to
I don't know,
just to keep tying until it turns into a non-slippable knot.
Exactly.
Just teaching them how to do those simple things to, you know, whatever they want to do to tie up stuff. And then building like a shelter. Simple, I mean, you build huts with them or club. I
forts.
Built that crap all the time. Keeping them protected from the environment. Another good idea is brand your kids. And then they know, everybody knows who they are. Oh, that's
that one's a Coonrad right there.
There's a Hardy kid right there. He's got it burned in the neck.
Yeah.
Teaching them secrecy. All of their things and supplies that they're learning and the gear that they're becoming familiar with, they need to be quiet
about
it.
It's tough because,
like, I understand it's exciting and most communities they're safe, but you do want them to try and be, you know, you don't need to tell everybody that we have, you know, 1,600 firearms in our
basement. Don't need to tell them about it. And sometimes it's a catch 22.
I don't want you to know that I don't want anybody knowing you're carrying a 22 in your backpack to school. Okay?
Don't tell them about the 357 that you're taking with you to gym class.
That 1911 I have around your ankle.
Yeah.
You need not tell people about
it. Appendix carry to class. I just do. that's a good idea.
But yeah, idea. Simple stuff.
Well, I think that's all we have for kids.
It is. I'm sorry.
That's your basics of kids, man, right?
There's
there.
A lot about kids.
Huh? Sure is. Mm-hmm. So moving on, should we talk about survival boxes, Cameron?
Do.
Go ahead.
Survival boxes.
Or do you want me to?
Oh, this is my deal, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
For some reason, I was thinking that was at the very end.
Okay. No, it's right now.
We have actually one to review today. So
we do.
I'm going to tell you about Survival Box right now. You
sure are.
So Survival Boxes are the only subscription box packed with all the essential survival supplies that you need for prepping to survive disasters or your next door adventure.
Next door.
Our adventure.
Next door.
I say that every time.
Yeah, you do.
Next outdoor adventure.
There you go.
There are three different boxes to choose from. So sign up today and start getting your survival boxes delivered to your door every
month. Yeah.
Use, what's our promo code? Same thing. Always. Casual Preppers.
Casual Preppers.
10% off.
Mm-hmm. So is there contracts for this?
There's no contract.
There's no contract.
Cancel anytime.
I can cancel anytime?
Yep.
That's fantastic. So yeah, go to survivalboxes.com and get your own because every time it comes, I'm a happy boy.
I know.
You know? I really am. I really love it. Okay, thank you, Survival Boxes.
thank you for bearing with me on that one.
Yeah. So, Cameron, now that we've talked about children, it's time to move on to children's ugly cousin, the pets, right?
Yep.
So, pets, Yeah, so there's some benefits to having pets in an SHTF situation. Let me go over those quickly. And when we talk about pets, guys, we're not talking about donkeys. We're not talking about iguanas. We're talking about dogs and cats. I mean, that's like 90% of pets are dogs and cats, pretty much, right?
That's true.
I mean, I've got chickens, but I don't really count them as pets. I count them as, you know, animals I'm raising for other
issues. Unfortunately think if you have hamsters or guinea pigs, you're going to... Sorry. We don't really have any plan for you.
Yeah, we don't really have plans.
They'll probably be all right to eat just crap and you can keep them in their cage.
Yeah. So, a benefit is security, right? Dogs keep a watchful eye on your property and group. They usually do. They're pretty territorial. They're protective of their territory as well as usually the family that they're with, right? You know, even if they aren't a large dog, they will bark usually when intruders or possible intruders are nearby. I know my dog does. I've got a mini schnauzer.
Barks every time I walk in.
Every time you walk in, he barks. So, I mean, that's a plus. You know, at least you'll know if somebody's at the door trying to wiggle in down the window.
Plus.
It's a big plus. Huge plus. some say the best setup is actually to have a large dog. Something like a German Shepherd, a Rottweiler, Bull Mastiff, Doberman, you know, all the big ones that everybody talks about, and also have a smaller companion dog. Because they say that those large dogs, a lot of times, will be more territorial and they'll be more protective when they have a little dog
really?
Around them. Yeah. Because they get attached to that little dog
I can
as
see
well
that.
As.
That's like their family to protect.
And so it helps them be more protective of your property and your territory and all that kind of stuff. So
that's interesting.
Think about that, all
right? I'm going in
I want
right
you to
now.
Think about it, yeah. The next thing is comfort, you know, especially with kids, like we talked about. There's going to be huge in an SHTF situation. My kids, they are attached to their dog. I mean, and they all have to sleep with them. We have to, like, rotate beds every night. The dog sleeps with them, right? And so I think that's going to be huge. I mean, even for adults, they're comfort. You know, the dog comes up, you pet the dog, you feel a little bit better, right? Releases endorphins, all those types of things that happen when dogs are around.
I don't want to go into the chemistry of it.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing.
I'm not a chemist, but... that really happens. They can also help, you know, with boredom and stuff like that. You know, you can play with your dog.
They can.
Yeah, it can really, really help. And also, in a disaster situation or an SHTF situation, you can kind of give that to your kids. Say, oh, you got to take care of the dog. I need you to really take care of the dog.
It's a perfect little
gives them something
chore.
To do. Yeah, it gives them something to do. And it helps you out. It helps the dog out. It helps everybody out, right? It gives them responsibility. And I kept trying to find benefits to having cats in an SHTF situation. It was very, very difficult to find benefits.
It only comes down to comfort for kids.
Yeah, really, pretty much, it's comfort, you know, and it's boredom. You can play with the cat a little bit. Most cats are assholes, though. I don't even know, man. I had one cat that was all right, but the rest of them have all just been kind of douchebags.
I don't own a dog.
I'm not a cat person.
And I would like a dog.
Yeah.
But I don't want I don't have time for the
responsibility.
I don't.
Part
and
it,
my
yeah.
kids aren't there yet.
Yeah.
Like they just
sure,
couldn't
yeah.
do it and it would be a nightmare for us.
Yeah.
I would love one in a SHTF.
Yeah, you would.
I want a companion dog because we have a cat right now. My kids love it. It's good for them. And, you know, it's funny to play with them, but it's going to, I'm not going to want it.
No.
When it turned into an apocalyptic scenario, yeah. I'm just going to let that
There
thing...
are some things that are good. We'll talk
right.
about it. But...
I'm not trashing cats. I'm not trashing dogs. I'm just saying they have their pluses. Kids love both.
They do, yeah.
And they're going to be a great comfort.
Yeah.
Obviously, a dog's going to be more useful.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, maybe your cat's ferocious beast.
Yeah, it could be.
And
really
it could just
be.
Rip people apart, which some of them do.
Mm-hmm. So wait. So some other stuff that are good with
we're showing you.
Yeah, we are with dogs. So some dogs, you know, hounds especially, are expert trackers. So that could be great in several situations for hunting, or if you got to track down some people, you know, you can do that. You have to obviously have trained dogs that can do that, but they can. I mean, my little mini schnauzer, he's a freaking rat and mouse hunting fool.
That's cool.
So if you leave him out in the backyard, he will chase rats and mice all night long, and so. That could be a benefit if you have to eat. You absolutely have to eat. It can go find, you
if
know, some
can
of those.
Get it from them before they.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something, I guess. cats are kind of the same way. They can, you know, they can hunt mice and stuff like that, but they're not going
to
share.
Our farm cats used to bring them back.
They're not going to share with you.
You're going to eat a sparrow.
Exactly.
Lots of meat.
Yeah,
there.
And birds, little birds and stuff like that. Yeah. Larger dogs can actually carry a load for you if you have the right stuff to do that.
A load of crap because you're carrying a bag of turd.
Exactly. So that's something. At night, if it's cold, the dogs curl up next to you, and they'll keep you a little warm. You'll keep it warm. Exchange body heat. Yeah. I put this on here. Everyone's going to be pissed, but they are a last resort meal if you have to. You can eat.
What the?
Yeah. You can eat some kitty cat.
I mean, in the worst case scenario.
Yeah, you can eat them. I mean,
I'm pretty sure most would not eat their,
if you're dying,
their survival dog.
You probably wouldn't,
but
I'm
you
saying
could.
You
can.
Could.
You can eat those suckers.
It is possible. They're edible. They do it all over the world. Well,
Asians
not all
do
over
all
the world.
The time.
Yeah. You know, some of the stuff that I was finding in some of these forums were kind of out there, but you can use like a trained collie or something to gather livestock if you had to. Yeah.
Go out and get me four cattle.
I need me some cattle. I want veal, so I want you to get them little.
I want black Angus tonight. Yeah. Go out there.
So, I mean, I guess that's possible, you know. Mm-hmm. Dogs are actually really good at finding water sources.
Yeah.
So, if you're out in an area where you don't know where water is, you kind of hang around your dog, they're going to find water at some point. So, that's obviously a plus.
Right.
This one article, oh my gosh, man. I was like, I did not want to put this in here, but I thought it was almost funny enough that I had to do it. Yeah, so an article seriously said that they are a benefit because they can detect early cancer.
Like rectal cancer? Like sniffing your butt?
Any kind of cancer in your body.
I know, I've heard all these little things that they're like.
I just, you know, okay, what am I going to do with this information? In an SHGF, well, I need chemo. What am I going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I have cancer.
I know.
You know?
Thank you, dog.
So stupid.
For telling me I got an end to it.
You've let me know I'm going to die soon. I appreciate that. Dogs have a really good
sound. Dog's going crazy tonight. I must have colon cancer.
Oh, damn it. I knew it was coming. Wait, no.
He doesn't act like this normally. Something's wrong inside.
Oh, what's he? Oh, you might have some cancer of the breast or something.
Bark twice if it's in my chest. Bark three times if it's in my colon.
Oh, shit. That was four barks. Oh,
gosh. It's in my testicles, mother.
I'm just going to cut them off tonight. Get rid of them right now.
Thank you, dog.
Thank you. You're my best friend. Yeah,
yeah.
Cancer sniffing dogs.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything on that, but maybe.
Dogs have a really good sense of direction. So if you do go out and get lost with a dog, they'll usually get you back to where you need to go. So those are all my advantages for
having.
There was two little things for cats in there. I apologize, cat people. I couldn't find anything. I don't know what else to say.
Seriously, they're therapeutic. They help kids. Yeah. I mean, and they can be fun. And
that's about
it. That's about it. They really don't help you in any other
way. They're usually buttholes. Every cat I've ever had is a butthole.
Some are buttholes. The one thing I'm going to, you know, just real quick on dogs is if you have a dog cooped up in a cage that just barks all night long, don't expect it to do anything for you in the apocalypse.
That's
so I'm
true.
Saying, like, spend time with your animal.
And I think, didn't I write that somewhere? I think I did somewhere. You got to make sure that your animal is trained.
Train the freaking thing.
Yeah, because it's going to be useless
like
otherwise.
In our town, there's just so many people that have a dog. I have this, like, bitterness towards them because most people I know, they don't play with them. They sit in their cage. They bark all night. And that
most people you know
off so bad. I'll have to say pretty much every neighbor around me
does
that.
Well, okay, I'm saying I don't do that.
You don't? No, get your dog's always out and about and barks at me every time I come in.
Exactly, yeah.
But, like, those dogs are going to be...
they're useless.
Awesome, you have a dog, you haven't trained it any, it's going to be a huge burden.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, I would like to have one trained if all my kids were out and I don't have to deal with my kids.
Those dogs ain't detecting no cancer.
Right.
You got to train them to do that. I'm putting mine through cancer detection school.
I'm bringing him into the oncology ward. Sniff it out. I want you to recognize this.
You got your dog with you at work every day. I'm just training him. If you got cancer, you get on over here.
Don't worry about him sniffing that wound. We're looking for cancer tonight. So the disadvantages are you've got to have extra food and water for both. Kobe read something about tuna being, why don't you just feed all your animals tuna?
Yeah.
Because then... you can just eat it too.
Yeah, they said just get your animals used to eating tuna all the time and feed them tuna all the time because then when it comes down to it, you can eat their food.
Right.
I think that's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
It is stupid. I have a cat, and when you give it tuna, it's like diarrhea and the worst smelling crap ever.
Really?
So go ahead and do that if you'd like.
Don't do that.
Noise. Mm. You know, if your animal's not well trained, you know, cats aren't really that noisy, but they can they're curious and they get into crap, knock stuff over. So and you can't control that.
They're buttholes.
You can't train a freaking cat.
Buttholes.
And dogs too, if you haven't spent the time, they're just gonna be a problem in that regard. Yeah. Bark at everything. They're not gonna be they're not gonna help you any, really. But they can. So you need to be prepared, keep them trained so that the noise isn't a big factor. Sanitation. You're in a bunker. You have a cat. It's going to stink up the whole place pretty quick. Dogs, too, you know, got to let them go out. And so they're going to have to poop and pee just like us.
Yeah, so if it's a nuclear holocaust and they can't go outside, what are you going
to
do?
That's going to be rough. You're going to really have to think this one through.
You're going to have to think of if you want to bring your
dog
in
there. I would encourage
you
to get the oil soak pellets from the AutoZone or whatever.
Yeah.
We've talked about cat litter before.
You like let the dog out in the nuclear holocaust, comes back in with like four heads. Well,
great. I got to feed it three times.
Now what am I going to do?
The one dog's going to die. There's not going to feed all four.
Yeah.
Cat litter being, you know, dogs can use it too. You can cover up stuff. Mm. It helps with smell. And what were the other uses talked about cat litter?
We've talked about it in
for
hygiene.
Like puke and human feces.
In like a pandemic situation, it's good to have.
So it's not bad to have that.
No, absolutely.
Just tons of it.
Yeah.
And you can get the real cheap kind. It's not the best smelling or prevent smells, but it does soak up and dry up all that crap. So sanitation is going to be probably one of the biggest problems based on whatever.
Sanitation.
Allergies. I just put that in there because you get a group member and they have allergies, the runny nose can lead to sinus infections, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you counter that. Good luck. Have some antihistamines.
Do something.
Pets can be annoying regardless.
Yeah.
And so you have to be willing to, you know, be ready for that because kids are going to be annoying and animals are going to be annoying.
My dog just about ate a chicken tonight. Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, he got a hold of one.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So, did he really?
He did, yeah. Yeah.
Did it survive?
Yeah, it not survived. It laid an egg right afterwards, so we're okay.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, thank goodness.
The other, you know, like I had talked about before, the pets, the birds, the snakes, the mice. Good luck. Whatever you want to do with those, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about
it. I trained my snake to sniff out cancer.
Yeah. So, Kobe has some stuff on preparing.
Yeah, so obviously you want a pet disaster emergency kit. We'll go through this quickly. Extra food on hand, obviously. And like I said, talk about the tuna thing. It's really stupid.
No, because, I mean, humans can eat the dog food, cat food.
You can
it's
eat
disgusting
it,
disgusting, but it'll be nutritional.
Right.
Worst case scenario. So just keep what you're doing for them.
Yep. You know, in a disaster situation where you got to get out of town really quick, you might have to evacuate. Make sure that you know in the area, the hotels that are pet friendly, that you can take your pet if you have to. You know, something to note beforehand so you're not trying to figure that out. Make sure you have contact numbers for your veterinarian and all that kind of stuff. A lot of times when the Red Cross or FEMA or something sets up shelters, they actually don't allow pets.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah, it depends. But a lot of times they don't. So you kind of have to be ready for that contingency. What are you going to do in that situation?
That's a problem, huh?
So, yeah. So just make sure you understand.
That.
Yeah, definitely make sure you know what to do. You might have to leave them home or just have a plan in case that happens, you know. Ensure your pet is up to date with the vaccinations and shots. Obviously, that's always a good idea. Keep a few gallons of water handy just for your pets, you know. Most of the time, if they have to, they can find water somewhere like we talked about. But just, you know, keep some extra in case you need it. You know, have their water bowls, their eating bowls, bath towels, you know, clothing if they need it, collars, leashes, all those types of things. Make sure you have those. If you have a cat, make sure you have a litter box and stuff like that. A lot of people said have photos and descriptions of your pets in case something happens so you know how to find them. It seems going overboard a little bit, but I guess, you know, if you love your pets that much, you're going to do something like that, right? You know, have a plan for when you bug out what you're going to do. I mean, are you going to carry your dog or is it just going to run alongside you? What's going to happen? You got to know.
Yeah.
Like you said, training. Make sure, you know, your animal isn't an idiot. Make sure that it can follow.
If it's an intelligent animal, spend the time with that
exactly,
intelligent animal.
Exactly, yep. And then the last thing I've got is you got to educate your children. You got to let them know that animals are second to humans, you know, because it's very difficult for kids to realize sometimes when it comes down to it, the dog's going to go before anything happens.
Yeah.
So that's all I have, Cam.
No, it's good.
So that's kids.
I hope that helps people
with
pets.
Yeah.
I think it will. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. So that's kids. That's pets. We're done.
Good.
Yeah. So we're going to do some quick reviews really quickly.
Let's do it.
What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Tac Pack real quick?
Let's do Tac Pack.
Tac Pack. Let's show them what they got here. So this is a pretty cool box. I actually really enjoyed this box.
Do you want to read it? I'll
pull it out. Sure. So the first thing is the ABKT Tactical Phantom Savage Fixed Blade. $40 value. Fantastic little knife. It has a nice weight to it. Nice sheath. Yeah, you can see it there on YouTube if you're watching. Fantastic little knife. That's $40 right there. I mean, you know, you've already...
Your box is done.
Yeah, your box is pretty much paid for. And if you've used our code, you only got $5 to go.
Yeah,
the next thing is the OST AR-15 Castle Nut Wrench. That's a $20 value. Mm. Yeah, Castle Nut Wrench. So that's a great tool for your AR-15 for, you know, fixing, tweaking, doing this whatever. One? Yeah, it's kind of a cool little cool tool. Cool tool. Mm-hmm. The next thing is the SMOS QD end plate. That is from Stubborn Mule Outdoor Supply. It's a wicked little receiver end plate with a QD slim swivel attachment. I don't know.
Think it's in here.
Is it? Okay. If we can't, man, you're making a freaking ton of noise. Anyways, you don't have to worry about that. We'll show later. The last thing is a Tac Pack hat. You get $25 value out of your Tac Pack hat. They always have good hats.
They do have good hats.
So, man,
awesome logo.
That is huge for $50. What you get?
It always is.
My gosh,
it always is.
The value is just phenomenal.
I don't
Thank
know how
you,
they
Tac
are
Pack.
Making any money?
Use our code Casual Preppers. You're gonna get 10% off your first box, and you're gonna feel like $1 million.
You really are.
All right. The next thing is we got a survival boxes, right? We got the Alpha box. Okay. Is that what we got, Cameron?
We do. Survival box. I butchered your commercial.
Yeah.
But really, these guys, we have loved every one of their boxes.
Yeah, we've been thoroughly impressed with everything they've done. So this one is like a fishing box, but you also get other stuff with it as well. Really, really cool stuff. You got the Wise Food chicken noodle soup in there. Right? Did you see that? It's 25 years.
Wise Food stuff I've tried, and
it's
really
good.
Good stuff.
And there's also the creamy stroganoff, I believe, is the other one. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep. And then you got a whole bunch of emergency water pouches, which are always fantastic to keep in your vehicles and stuff
like
that.
Four or five in each car.
Yeah. The next thing is the M48 Ops bag. It's like a nice little tactical bag for any type of situation. You can use it for a first aid kit or even a fishing bag. And yeah, I like that. Another thing is the UST Learn and Live fishing kit. Fishing kit. Yeah.
That's sweet.
I know. That's really cool.
There's a lot of stuff.
I know. It's really good stuff. And then the Berkley Soft Grip fishing knife. It's a perfect little fillet. Not little. It's actually pretty big. Fillet knife.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. The next thing is a mechanical. Oh, has an auto reel in there, huh? I didn't see the auto reel. I actually keep an auto reel in my bug out bag. Those are nice to have.
I do too.
So basically, you tie that to a tree, you put your bait on it, pull it out in the water. As soon as it gets a hit, it just sucks back in.
Pretty
just auto.
Sweet.
Yeah,
like
really cool. And the 45 piece crappy grub kit.
Crappy grub.
Yeah. And then a monofilament 12-pound fishing line.
Oh, the seeds.
Split shot sinkers.
Good fruit.
And then the last thing is the heirloom seeds.
How much is that box? How much is the Alpha box?
The box is $39.
That's incredible.
Yeah. How in the hell are they making money?
I don't
on
know.
That?
You've got the food. You got the water. You got the all the fishing equipment. You've got a knife and you've got a sweet bag. That's impossible.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that.
Survival box is well done because you're like magicians. I don't know how you're doing
that. That seriously is.
Blows my mind.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you guys want to try to rip off from this microphone, if you really want to try a good like food box,
yes.
Go with survival
just
box.
Get
like
them,
it's
man.
Just like, wow. I don't have to worry about this crap. It
exactly.
just comes to me every
Make
month.
Make sure you use our code Casual Preppers because you're going to get a discount and you're going to love it. All right. The last thing we have to review is a battle box. We actually put out a video on this, a little short film that we usually do for battle box. It's
so
on
all of our stuff's kind of scattered about. So
yeah,
sorry, YouTubers,
I don't
have it, but we have all of it
on our video. You can
every
find that
bit of it
on our website as well as our Basement Nation Outdoors YouTube channel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the basic box, $24.99, you get a Speedy Stitcher sewing, which is pretty sweet. I mean, it gives you the ability to push through like really
leather.
Thick material. You know, we started sewing a glove, which was super easy.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome kit if you're wanting a portable sewing kit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a unique item. The other thing is a carbon steel knife. It's kind of like a little wood handle flip blade.
The open L or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
Super sharp. Cool knife. Pretty cool knife to throw in a bug out bag.
It's very light, yeah.
Marbles pocket puck knife and tool sharpener. So you get this real big stone, another knife sharpener. Those are always handy to have.
Yeah, then I got 8,000 of them at this point, though.
Ready Man Tinder Scraper.
Yeah.
So it's like a credit card sized cheese grater.
Yeah. I don't like that Tinder Maker as much as I like the Smith's.
Oh, the Smith's one is better.
It's so much better.
But the Smith's one we got from BattleBox.
We did, yeah. Anyway. But you can check out that Smith's one. We did a review video on it on our Casual Preppers podcast YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Go check it out because it's a cool little Tinder Maker.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you're wanting to really shed weight, that is the smallest, most portable Tinder Maker.
Yeah.
The advanced box is $49.99. It comes with the Condor Kefart Blade. Oh, this is the South. Wait, what is that?
What?
Condor Kefart Blade Blank High Carbon Steel. What is that? That's not the knife.
What? What?
See, right at the bottom of that? Anyway.
I don't know.
Moving
don't know
on. Yeah. You got the high carbon steel walnut blocks and pins.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the knife kit.
Okay.
That's the making kit. It's where you can make the knife.
Oh, that's... Okay, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, you got a whole kit in there if you want to...
Make your own.
That's an activity to do for your kids right there.
There you go, huh?
You got a deadfall trap, which is pretty sweet. I don't have one of those.
I didn't either, and it's a really simple one to actually do.
It just looks like the number 4, and all it is, you stick a little bait on it, and once it goes after it, whatever weight you've got above is going to immediately fall.
You'll see us set it up in the video. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's a pretty cool trap.
We used a big log.
The Pro Box has all of the above, and it has the Zombie Tinder Bushcrafter Fire Kit, which was a pretty impressive kit.
The tinder is great, actually.
It is.
I have a few zombie tinder kits, but I haven't actually used the actual tinder.
Yeah. We used that little skull and we got a fire going super fast and
sure did.
Has all kinds of different varieties of starting a fire, and it's just in a small tin. Mm-hmm. And that tin can be used for other things, so it's pretty sweet. Now the Pro Plus box is $149 with a value of $261, comes with the Condor Primitive Bush Knife.
Yeah, that was my favorite item.
It was a beast of a knife.
It's a beast.
It has a super fancy sheath. It's like 3/4 of a cow.
You feel like the Beastmaster or something when you have that
me
thing.
Too.
You know what I mean?
And the blade has like a lot of good weight on it. Mm-hmm. It's super sharp. Like you can use it to a lot of good bushcraft use from that knife.
That's like one of my favorite knives I've gotten from
them. Pretty awesome stuff from BattleBox. Yeah. Check them out. Their subscriptions are pretty sweet, and we're always happy to do their videos.
Thank you, BattleBox. So go check out those videos that we have because it's fun stuff to watch, I think.
Yeah.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
All right. Now that if you guys are listening at all still, just real quick, since you got those nice little petty pets or somebody else has a nice little petty pet and you get bit, this is kind of how we basically manage a bite in the emergency department, urgent care department.
Okay.
It's still emergency.
Yeah, it's still emergency.
It's urgent care. So so cat bites, first of all, are small teeth. They puncture deep, and they tend to be the ones most likely to get infected. So the way that we manage all bites is we irrigate. Well, we wash them, soap and water, clean them as good as we can, irrigate as best you can, try and get it real sterile, and then typically you don't need antibiotics unless, obviously, you know, the wound is pretty dirty, you couldn't clean it very well, or the cat bites, you do want to kind of treat those. You don't have to always, but because their teeth are so small and they puncture deep, they usually hit tendons and deep tissue, and then they close off. So, So in terms of managing those, clean them up real good, irrigate them, and then do not close them.
Don't close them.
No. Okay. So they're not a wound to be closed. They need to be open. They did a bunch of studies showing that a closed versus unclosed were about the same. So leaving them unclosed is probably the better thing to do. Let it drain, and that, you know, that contamination is usually deep. So you do need to leave it open. The only time that you would consider putting them on antibiotics is, like I said, the cat bites, because they're deep and penetrating. Mm-hmm. If it's red or really dirty, or it was a dirty animal, you know, one that was...
Well, if it's a cat, it's a dirty animal.
If it's a swamp dog, you're going to definitely want to treat that. And then dogs, the bad thing is they tend to tear tissue pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, a dog bite just rips and it can just shred tissue. So that does need to be sutured up and stabilized as best as possible. Clean it really good, irrigate it, numb it up, debride it, cut off all that dead nasty tissue, and then sew it up. Mm-hmm. So that one you do close. And it's probably best if it's ripped up that bad to get them on an antibiotic. Mm. When you do splint it, you know, like a most bites are on the hands or the feet.
Yeah.
You're going to kind of splint the hand. We'll talk about splints later, but you kind of want to keep them a little bit flexed or extended. You know, you don't want a straight,
too straight
joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because it, when you have that splint, it's going to stiffen up and cause problems. So, as for antibiotics, human and dog bites, augmentin or an amoxicillin-based, Bactrim, clindamycin, doxycycline, Cipro, real common antibiotics. I mean,
yeah.
If you go with a fish antibiotic route, you can get all of these.
Yeah.
And then for cats, you do like a macrolide antibiotic, clarithromycin, but you can also do Cipro and clindamycin. So clindamycin and clindamycin, augmentin, doxy are two real big ones for skin infections. So if you have those,
it looks like great. Cipro would be good too because it's good for.
Yeah, Cipro is too. I don't use it a lot in skin infections. I usually go with the other ones just because Cipro has a little more side effects. But it is a great one to have. If you have it, you're covered really well. If you get bit by a monkey, you're screwed. It's like some weird virus, like hepatitis, all kinds of things. And, you know, if you have a pet monkey, good luck.
Yeah, don't have a pet monkey.
If they bite.
Did you not watch Outbreak?
They're freaking vicious.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's all.
Fantastic. Thank you, Cameron.
You're welcome.
That was good.
Is that a little longy?
I like it.
It's a bit of a longy.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate you guys. Tell your friends about us. Tell them to download us. Tell them to subscribe.
Yep.
Come follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all those types of places.
Check out our sponsors.
Yeah. Go see Survival Boxes. Go see TAC Pack because they're
their
fantastic.
Their subscription boxes are great. They really are.
Yeah. So thank you, Cam. You got anything else?
I don't. Peace.
All right. See you.